Well, in order to explain this race, it's necessary to set the scene a little bit. Visualize that you're at the top of the 2,000 meter race course, six lanes, and you're looking down the course from the start to the finish. About 500 meters from the finish is a big promontory that comes on the left side of the race course. The prevailing winds come from your left upstream, so that the lanes 1 and 2 are covered by that promontory and don't get that wind. Lanes 5 and 6 get it all the way. So when the race started, we all started relatively about the same time, but we never heard the starter. We just had to start before the others started, but that didn't bother us. And after about 200 meters, we were doing all right. We were a little behind, maybe quarter of a length, third of a length. But after that, we went behind steadily. And we were rowing at a cadence that we were familiar with, but we were getting behind because we had a full wind, and the Germans and Italians over in lanes 1 and 2, we were in 6, they had this calm water and we had a headwind. So with about 500 meters gone, we were perhaps half a length behind. At the halfway mark, the 1,000, we were at least full length behind, probably about a length and a half behind. And from about the last 500 meters, I've been trying to get the stroke up, but Don, the stroke oar, he didn't hear me. He didn't hear me. He'd been sick for about 3 days, and I think he passed out because he had walking pneumonia. He doesn't remember anything after the first 200 meters. But as we went down the course, we went further behind. I still tried to get the stroke up. I must have asked for the stroke to go up 10 or a dozen times. Nothing happened. At the halfway mark, we were about a length and a half behind, which is a long ways in that boat race. Well, when he had about, maybe 700 or 800 meters to go, I decided we had to do something. But there wasn't anything to do except try to get the seven man to stroke the crew, and that'd be a disaster. But at any rate, about 700 meters from the finish line, all of a sudden Don's eyes flew open, his mouth clamped shut, and away we went. The stroke went up, and about that time, after you'd gone maybe 100 meters after that, the Germans and Italians got out from that promontory, and it was the same wind hit them and hit us. And from there on, we took the stroke up consistently, and we gained about a seat every stroke. We just mowed them down. We went right by them. But we had a long ways to go. And we took the stroke higher than we'd ever even practiced. We were rowing about 44 or 45 strokes to the minute when we went over the finish line, and we won by about 10 feet. That's about it. But the difficulty is that one thing that's of interest is usually after a crew finishes a race, if they've won, there's some exultation. They put their hands in the air and kind of yell or, have some kind of a celebration. We didn't have any. We didn't even feel any elation from having won. They were that tired. They couldn't have possibly taken two more strokes. Well, crew has been a great influence on my life. It's one of the two greatest influences outside of my family that dictated what I did and how I did it. The crew had a lot of publicity in those days, and a lot of people knew our names. I was pretty well known in Seattle, and as a young attorney, that didn't hurt any. So that was a big plus. In addition to that, I had a good fraternity, and put those two things together, it made the practice of law a lot easier, I think, because I knew a lot of people and a lot of people knew me. And the other thing about it is that this group of men with whom I was associated, we were just like brothers. We used to have get-togethers twice a year. In the wintertime, we'd have a stag party, and in the summertime, we let the families come. I was very close to those men. We were all liked each other and got along well, and we liked to be with each other. And that lasted out throughout almost all of our years. There are four of us left, five are gone, and I miss them.